many times, maybe much of the time, blessings actually come through trial. Blessings actually come through struggle. I want to share with you a song, and the words will be on the screen. I'm not going to sing it. It'll be somebody else singing the song, but I want you to pay close attention to the words. It's a reminder of the fact that it is indeed God using those trials and struggles to be a blessing to us and to grow us. And then we'll talk about one person who experienced some pretty heavy trials, but how God blessed through those trials. I hope that song speaks to you the way that it speaks to me and reminds me of the fact that indeed we do go through struggles and trials, and those trials often are God's blessing us and growing us, even though we don't seem to feel like it's much of a blessing. We're going to look at Job this morning, and we're going to look at some trials that he went through and see how God ultimately blessed him in spite of the fact that he endured so much. So Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. One day the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord asked Satan, "Where have you come from?" "From roaming through the earth," Satan answered him, "and walking around on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? No one else on earth is like him, a man of perfect integrity who fears God and turns away from evil." Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Haven't you placed a hedge around him, his household, and everything he owns? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he owns, and he will surely curse you to your face." "Very well," the Lord told Satan, "everything he owns is in your power. However, you must not lay a hand on Job himself." So Satan left the Lord's presence. One day when Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and reported, "While the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, the Sabians swooped down and took them away. They struck down the servants with the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." He was still speaking when another messenger came and reported, "A lightning storm struck from heaven. It burned up the sheep and the servants and devoured them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." That messenger was still speaking when yet another came and reported, "The Chaldeans formed three bands, made a raid on the camels, and took them away. They struck down the servants with the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." He was still speaking when another messenger came and reported, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Suddenly a powerful wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on the young people so that they died, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job stood up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. He fell to the ground and worshipped, saying, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Praise the name of Yahweh." May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we confess we don't like trial. But God, we know that your word teaches us you have a purpose in everything. We thank you for teaching us your truth and wanting us to know you more, even if it means experiencing trial. God, as we look at Job this morning, open our hearts and minds. Help us to hear from you and help us to understand a little more about how you want to grow us and how you want us to experience you more than anything. God, I pray right now that I might decrease, that you might increase, that your truth would be spoken here. It's in your precious and wonderful name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. In this text, we see three principles of life that we can learn from Job, and the first is, it can get bad in a hurry. Is it fair to say that when you read that, you're just blown away by what takes place in Job's life? I mean, here he is, everything from the world's perspective, everything is going well. He's got all these animals. I mean, he's a wealthy man. He's got a wonderful family. Everything is awesome. And all of a sudden, God allows him to experience this trial. And there's Job in his home, minding his own business, and a messenger comes in and says, "Hey, Job, all your oxen, all your donkeys, all the animals that you're going to work with, they're all gone." Before Job finishes getting that news, another comes in and says, "You know, those sheep that you were expecting to sell the wool from to make more money, those sheep are gone." I don't know about you, but that's enough right there. That's awful. Everything in his life's been inverted. It's flipped over and taken from him. At this point, Job's thinking, man, I've lost my oxen, I've lost my donkeys, I've lost my sheep, but at least I have my camels. But wait, there's more. Another messenger comes in before he's finished even getting that news and says, hey, the Chaldeans swept in and they took away your camels. You don't have your camels anymore either. And to make matters worse, now Job's thinking, oh, everything, every animal I've owned, it's all gone, it's all done, but thank goodness my family's safe. But then another messenger comes in, a fourth messenger comes in and says, Job, your sons and daughters, they were hanging out together and a strong wind blew over the house they were in and they're all dead. Any one of these reports would have been enough to say it was a horrible day. But imagine all of these reports added up on one another, all of these events taking place in his life suddenly, and it's an awful, awful, the worst day ever. It's hard for me to imagine how Job's brain didn't explode with all this information coming in at once. Things can get bad in a hurry. Job was rocking along in life. God had blessed him greatly. He had lots of the things the world looks at and says are a success. He had wealth. He had a healthy family and life was good. Things couldn't have been much better, but in a matter of moments, it turned awful. Some of you know what that's like. You've been through that. You've experienced that. A routine doctor's checkup and you find out there's an issue with your heart and all of a sudden you're thrust into open heart surgery and things change in a moment. Maybe you had a routine blood test and all of a sudden you recognize the doctor says the C word no one wants to hear and there are markers there and they start doing tests and they find out things are not good. Life turns quickly and it can be overwhelming. We just can't predict what's going to come our way. We don't know what's going to happen. When I was pastoring in Marietta, a few times we did a fall festival and we actually used a tent from the Georgia Baptist Convention. And the couple of years that we used it, it was actually being used right before us at an ag expo down in Moultrie, Georgia. So we would have to go and get it. That was part of the deal to use it. You had to go get it wherever it was. So we drove down to Moultrie, Georgia and got that and hooked it up. And my minister of music and youth was with me. And we were in our church van. We hooked that thing up. We got back on I-75, and we hadn't been on I-75 very long outside of Moultrie and headed back up the highway. And then inexplicably, and I don't know to this day why, but traffic came to a complete stop on I-75. Never knew why. Never found out what was there because after the accident, nothing was there. There was no reason to explain why it came to a stop, but traffic came to a stop. Well, I saw this 18-wheeler in front of me literally locking it up and starting to swerve just a little bit. So I got on my brakes hard. I got almost completely stopped, but I'm looking in my side view mirror. I still remember to this day looking in the passenger side view mirror and seeing this car hauler coming down the highway locking his brakes up. Now, praise God, he was empty, but he had locked up his brakes and I could see the smoke rising from his tires. And to his credit, he tried to get into the emergency lane, and as he pulled over that direction, his tires broke loose and began to swing this way toward us, and it hit the trailer that we were pulling. Well, when it hit the trailer we were pulling, because of the motion of that, it turned the van into a truck that we had stopped short of and caused us to hit that truck and slide down the side of that truck for about 20 feet. Well, at that point, I'm thinking, man, things could have been a lot worse, and then it got worse. An explosion, it sounded like, went off behind us. And what had taken place is we were rear-ended in that trailer extremely hard, so much so that it threw us for I don't know how many yards, but a number of yards, literally toward the partition wall in the middle of the highway until we eventually came to a stop. When we got out, we realized we'd been hit by an F-250 dually pulling a fifth-wheel camper that couldn't see because of the smoke from those tires and didn't come to a stop and literally blew up that trailer. There were tent pegs. This is not a little tent. This is a big tent, circus kind of tent. There were tent pegs all along I-75, all along the inner wall of that. And as I looked over at my minister of music, I looked at his seat and I said, man, look at the back of your seat. His seat was bent back like this, touching the front row seat. And he said, hey, look at yours. Mine was the same way. I didn't even realize it. We'd been hit so hard that it thrust us against the back of the seat. And praise God, there wasn't anybody sitting behind us because they literally would have been pinned in those seats. We did have on our seat belts as well. But in a moment, things changed and things can happen. God protected us that day from harmful injury. I mean, we were both sore and those kinds of things, but it could have been a whole lot worse. Job's day did not end in protection. And many of you here know exactly what that's like. But Job's response, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Praise the name of Yahweh. Now, if I had just heard the news that Job had heard that day, I'm pretty sure that would not have been my response. I don't know about you, but after all that, I'm not thinking I'd want to praise God. And yet that's exactly what Job did, and that's what we should be doing. I don't know about you, but I want to be mad. I want to complain. I want to fuss. The last thing I want to do is praise God and thank him for his work. Here's the thing. We can't control how our life might turn on a dime because there are so many things that we have zero control over, but we can control our response. And when we recognize that life has turned, and while our immediate response might not be great, we can repent of that response and say, God, even so, I trust you. I know you have a purpose, even though I don't understand. So the first principle of life that we see here is it can get bad in a hurry. The second principle of life that we can learn here from Job, good news, it can get worse. Now, I know you came here for this word of encouragement, and I've just blessed you immensely already. Let's look at what happens in Job's life in Job chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. One day the sons of God came again to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord asked Satan, where have you come from? From roaming through the earth, Satan answered, and walking around on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? No one else on earth is like him, a man of perfect integrity, who fears God and turns away from evil. He still retains his integrity, even though you incited me against him to destroy him without just cause. Skin for skin, Satan answered the Lord, a man will give up everything he owns in exchange for his life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. Very well, the Lord told Satan, he is in your power. Only spare his life. So Satan left the Lord's presence and infected Job with terrible boils from the sole of his foot to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery to scrape himself while he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. And then Job, you speak as a foolish woman speaks, he told her. Should we accept only good from God and not adversity? Throughout all this, Job did not sin. And what he said. What an amazing testimony of what takes place in Job's heart here. Surely God had let Job suffer enough before this. Surely as you read this text, you're pulling for God to say, no, don't do that. Don't let Job go through more. He's already gone through so much, and yet things go from bad to worse. So let me ask you the question, if things could go from bad to worse for a righteous man like Job, what about you and I? Can they go from bad to worse for us? I believe they can. We're no better than Job. Things are so rotten for Job that he takes shards of pottery and scrapes the sores off his body. Now, I can't imagine how awful that must be. You know, I've picked at scabs and sores and stuff like that, but to literally take shards of pottery and to scrape it off his body, that's an awful sight, an unbelievable thing to experience. And yet, in spite of all this pain, Job does not turn his back on God. He doesn't lose his faith. I can't help but to immediately think about Steve Freeman and all that he has been through. For those of you who don't know Steve Freeman preached revival for us, and Steve was born with cerebral palsy. In spite of the fact that he was born with this health condition, in spite of the fact that it has caused him pain throughout his life, Steve still loves the Lord and still sees even the cerebral palsy as a blessing from God. But just about 6 years ago, Steve got cancer. And how easy it would have been for Steve to say, I'm done, God. You know, I'm out serving you. I'm out doing what you want me to do. And now you bring this into my life, and he had to experience the awful side effects of chemotherapy and all that came with that. And yet he continued to faithfully serve God. He continued to faithfully follow God. And many have been blessed and touched by Steve sharing his faith and reaching out to others. I don't know what it is that you're going through. I don't know how long you've been going through it, but I can say from God's word, it can get worse, but you can trust him to see you through it. When Job thought it couldn't get any worse, it did. And there have been times in my life when I thought it couldn't get any worse, and it did. I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but I am trying to say to you, we are not in control. God is. And there may be some heavy things that come into our life, but we can trust our lives to him. If you look on through the book of Job, you see that his wife and his friends, they all came alongside him, and they were great encouragers to him. They loved on him and cared for... Oh, wait a minute. Some of you have actually read this, and you know that's not the truth. Job's wife, as we already read, said, curse God and die. His friends came alongside him and said, hey, Job, look at what's going on in your life. Obviously, you've sinned. You've done something wrong, Job. You need to confess. What's up? Just confess it. God will straighten things out. God doesn't punish righteous people. He doesn't allow bad things to happen to good people. Let me assure you on the authority of God's word, not my opinion, that God does allow bad things to happen to good people. But even in that, God has a plan and a purpose. God wants to grow us. He wants us to experience him. And let me assure you, if you read through the book of Job, you find out that Job questioned God. Job asked God, you know, what's going on here? I don't like these things. I don't understand these things. And God can handle our questions. But don't be surprised if God has questions for us too. He did for Job. He said, Job, where were you when I created the earth? God's answer was, I'm on the throne. I've got this. You can trust it to me. And ultimately, Job did trust God. We may not like what we go through. We may not like what we experience, but God has a plan in it. We can count on him to see us through it. So two of the principles of life that we can learn from Job is it can get bad in a hurry. Secondly, it can get worse. But thirdly, endurance is always rewarded by God. Now, don't immediately jump to the wrong conclusion. I want you to bear with me and listen to what I have to say here. I want us to look at what happened in Job's life. And as we pick up in the verses that we're going to read right at the end of the book of Job, we find out this is a place where God has chastised Job's friends for the things that they said that were not true about God. So much so that he says to Job's friends, you will make a sacrifice to me. And you will ask Job to pray for you because I'll listen to his prayers, not yours. So that's where we are as we pick up in Job 42, beginning in verse 10. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his prosperity and doubled his previous possessions. All his brothers, sisters, and former acquaintances came to his house and dined with him in his house. They sympathized with him and comforted him concerning all the adversity the Lord had brought to him. Each one gave him a casita, which is a coin, and a gold earring. So the Lord blessed the last part of Job's life more than the first. He owned 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He named his first daughter Jemima. I'm pretty sure she didn't become an aunt. His second, Keziah. His third, Karen Hapuk. No women as beautiful as Job's daughters could be found in all the land, and their father granted them an inheritance with their brothers. But that tells us a lot about Job's heart, because in this time it was not normal for the daughters to get an inheritance, and yet he gave them an inheritance and blessed them. Job lived 140 years after this and saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. Then Job died old and full of days. Testimony of God's faithfulness in Job's life. Job endured all of that hardship, all of that struggle in his life. He had twice the wealth that he had before his suffering. So am I implying to you that after you go through your suffering, God is going to give you twice the wealth that you had before? Not in the way that the world defines wealth. So my answer is no and yes. You see, because God's blessing to us isn't necessarily the way the world looks at blessing. What God will pour out in our lives will be far more. You see, you may not die old and full of days. You may suffer greatly and die relatively young, but for us as Christians, the promise of what awaits us is far beyond anything this world has to offer. The promise of being in God's presence, of spending eternity in heaven, is an awesome thing. And folks, I had rather be faithful to God and live with little and suffer much in this life than to be unfaithful to him and have much in this life but suffer for eternity. There's a somewhat, I guess, popular country song today that says, money can buy me a nice boat and a truck to pull it with. But I want to assure you that you won't take a boat or a truck with you into the kingdom of heaven. All the money in the world you can have will not get you into heaven. If you die separated from God, eternity will be hell. But if you die knowing Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, your eternity will be grand forever. As Christians, we have to realize that one day our suffering will be rewarded. One day our endurance through hardship and trial will result in God pouring out amazing blessing upon us in heaven. So yes, no matter how bad it gets in this life, it will get better one day. We can count on that for certain. So we have these three principles from Job's life. It can get bad in a hurry, and we know it can. It can get worse, but endurance is always rewarded by God. You see, it doesn't matter what you're going through. God will bless your endurance. And he's not unaware of your struggle. He's not unaware of your hurt. He will see you through. If life is weighing down on you right now, trust God to take control. Let him give you the endurance you need and know that he will reward you. Ask God for the strength to endure, to help you grow closer to him through this trial. And I want to say to you today, if you don't have him in your life, if you've never asked his forgiveness and placed your faith in him, you're trying to live a life on your own that God never intended for you to have to live on your own. He wants you to know him. He wants you to have a relationship with him. And it really is this simple. He died for your sin, and all you have to do is ask his forgiveness and place your trust in him. But I want to say this to you as well. Don't think that you can just give lip service to that and somehow get fire insurance. Well, I've heard about hell. I don't want to go there. See, the fact of the matter is, if you're going to come to him, you've got to not only ask his forgiveness, you've got to recognize that he wants to and must be Lord in your life. Surrender yourself to him, and he will forgive you and give you eternal life. And you can leave here knowing that no matter what happens in this life, no matter what you might have to endure, he will bless you with so much more for eternity than you ever dreamed. But let God have his way today. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for your amazing love for us. We thank you for all that you've done for us. And God, we pray that we would trust ourselves completely to you. God, forgive us when we try to do things on our own. Forgive us when we try to endure struggles that we were never meant to have to endure apart from you. God, help us to lean on you and to trust you. Lord, for those who are here that don't know you, I pray right now they'd ask your forgiveness. Right now they trust in you. God, for others who are here who have placed their faith in you, God, I pray we'd have the courage to trust you for the strength we need no matter what we face. Lord, whatever decisions you've put on hearts today, whether it's to follow you through believer's baptism, whether it's to become a part of this church, Lord, or if it's a call to a service, to a ministry of some kind, God, help us to be obedient to you and to respond to that call right now. We give this invitation time to you and ask you to have your way in it. It's in your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen.